because I was talking about human beings, personality of human beings. Chazal say that Kshem Shepaltzufehem Einan Doimes, in the same way as human beings physically don't look alike, Kach Deoseihem Einan Doimes, so too the perspectives that they have or the opinions that they have are also not alike. In the same way as physically no two people are exactly the same, so too, in terms of viewpoint, in terms of seeing things, in terms of understanding things, no two people see things in exactly the same way. And this is particularly true when one tries to create a Torah perspective on a particular topic or a particular subject or a particular issue or a particular event. Because Chazal say Shivim Panim LaTorah, that there are 70 facets for Torah, therefore one views things and one sees things in different ways. And everybody views and sees topics, subjects, events, issues, even from a Hashkofa point of view, even from a Torah point of view, in different ways. But Kol HaNecholim Megiim Al HaYam, all the rivers end up in the sea. In other words, everybody's trying to get to the same place, but the viewpoint can sometimes, or the perspective, can sometimes be different. The Balatanya writes, phrases himself actually in Yiddish. So a lot of things sound better in Yiddish than they do when you translate them into another language. But the Balatanya writes that a mensch darf wissen, that a person has to know, as a darf leben mit the Parshas HaShavua, that he has to live with the Parshas HaShavua. Meaning that if events happen, or if a person has a problem, a person has an issue, whatever it may be, the fact that the Hashgacha creates a situation, that there is a particular parsha which is being read in shul on that particular Shabbos, part of the Hashgacha is that the perspective on the problem, or on the event, or whatever it may be, he'll find in the Parshas HaShavua. And you can have, and this happens very often, two individuals who go through exactly the same chinuch. They go through exactly the same education. They were educated in the same school of thought. They went through the same yeshivas, more or less. They grew up in the same environment. The chinuch that they received, and I'm talking now about the Torah chinuch that they received, was more or less the same thing. Yet very often, they have different perspectives on things, or they see things in different ways. And that's part of the godless of Torah. Part of the godless of Torah is the Shivim Panim LaTorah, that you can see things in different perspectives and in different ways. Herbert Open spoke on Wednesday, eloquently, on his perspective on the events of this week. I have a slightly different perspective. I see things slightly differently. Somebody once said that that's the mile of Leivaria. The Rapport of Elepin always see things differently. And I think the perspective lies in this week's parsha. Rabbi Lopin and myself used to travel much more frequently than we do today to America together. And we had a Mokka Mahsanya. We had a fixed place where we used to stay. We used to stay in a house in Borough Park, which was occupied on the top floor by the parents of a Talmud that went in the yeshiva. And one floor was occupied by the grandmother. And there was an empty basement where we stayed. And the grandmother was a very elderly lady. When we got to know her, she was in her late 80s. She was classic, simple, from American immigrant. She'd come as a little girl, probably, according to our Cheshbon, in the early 20th century to America with her parents. But they were Shemri Torah mitzvahs. She was a woman who went with a sheitel in those years, in the early 1900s. She was a from lady, but I doubt very much whether she could even read a siddur. I'm not sure whether she could actually daven. When we got to know her, she was suffering already from senility. I'm not even sure how much she knew what was going on or what wasn't going on. But when we first started staying there, we noticed that in her apartment, we used to go in, ask her how she is. One could run a conversation with her, but she would forget and she was confused. We noticed that there were constantly Shabbos lights, two candlesticks with candles in them lit in her apartment. It didn't matter if it was a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, there were always Shabbos. So one occasion we asked the daughter, who was the mother of the Talmud, remember, I asked, what is the story with these Shabbos candles? She said, my mother's confused. She doesn't really know, she doesn't even recognize me even. But one thing is a fixation in her mind. She's always saying, is it Shabbos? And she's always worried about the fact that maybe it's Erev Shabbos, so she's constantly lighting Shabbos lights. Now she's an elderly lady, give her a box of matches and candles, she can burn the whole house down. So what we do is, we keep the Shabbos lights going the whole week, and every 2 minutes she looks at the Shabbos lights and she says, oh, it's Shabbos, it's Shabbos, I've got the Shabbos, it's Shabbos, I've got the Shabbos. My son Baruch learns in yeshiva, his Rosh Yeshiva, his father was Nifter a few months ago, was one of the biggest dayanim and one of the biggest peskim here in Yerushalayim. It's Odin Godel Moed, Moed Moed. The last year and a half of his life, a very elderly man, he was also suffering from some type of Alzheimer, from some type of senility. He didn't recognize his own children. He had no idea where he was. He didn't know where he was or what he was. The boys in the yeshiva used to have a rota whereby you couldn't leave him on his own. So they used to have a rota where there were always two bokhrim with him. And they used to take him out sometimes for a walk, or they'd sit with him. They'd learn in the house there, and he would sit there. And my son said to me the following, he said, Abba, it's a very interesting thing, he said. He doesn't know where he is, he doesn't even recognize his own children, he doesn't recognize his wife. But he's always asking one thing, did I daven Ma'ariv? And you find a very interesting phenomena. You find a phenomena of even of Anashim Gedolim, who at the end of their life don't know what's going on with them. And I once heard from Chas Kosana, the Tzadik Baruch of the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, he said there's a reason for that. There's a very interesting reason for that. He said that Chazal say that the world survives because there are Anashim Gedolim in the world. And Chazal base it on the Pasuk of Tzadik Yisod Elam, that the Tzadik is the Yisod of the world. On the other hand, Chazal also say that Lechnei Haroah Ne'asaf HaTzadik, that before bad things happen, the Rebbe Hashem doesn't want that an Adam Gadol should go through the experience of seeing Tzaras to Klal Yisrael, so the Rebbe Hashem takes away the Tzadik from the world. So he said, Lechor Tzastira. If the Rebbe Hashem takes the Tzadik away from the world before Lechnei Haroah Ne'asaf HaTzadik, there's no Tzadikim left, and the world will collapse. So how do we get out of this? So So he said, the pshat is that what Rabbi Shlomo does is the following. He leaves the tzaddik in this world so that he should be tzaddik yisayid oidam, because the physical presence of a tzaddik in the world keeps the world going. But in order that he shouldn't suffer by seeing what's going on with Klal Yisrael, so that Rabbi Shlomo removes his mind. But constantly you see, and I have personal experience with this, of a number of the Gedolei Yisrael that I knew personally, who at the end of their lives were confused. They never spoke Dvorim Betelim. In their confusion, they never spoke Chas V'Shalom Dvorim Asurim. It was always something to do with Torah. They were confused, but they were always either putting on tefillin every 5 minutes or davening Shachris 15 times a day. It was always something to do with Torah. Why is that? Because inherently, within the Jew, whether he is conscious about it or he's not conscious about it, the subconscious of the Jew, the essence of the Jew, is Ratzon Abayir. The essence of the Jew is to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And therefore, even if the Jew is totally oblivious to what's going on around him, even if his mind isn't working, instinctively, within the confusion and within the non-recognition and without the cognitive understanding, if he's an Elach Yid, it'll be something to do with Avodas Hashem, it'll be something to do with Yiras Shamayim. I had two uncles, my father had two brothers, came to Eretz Yisrael in 1971 from Russia. They were both Erlich and Chassidus people. They both spent, each of them, about 16 years in Siberia in labor camps. They were sent away by the KGB to labor camps for 16 years. They came here to Eretz Yisrael. And they settled here. One settled in Yerushalayim, one settled in Kiryat Malachi. My uncle, who came to Kiryat Malachi, was a Rosh Yeshiva in a yeshiva in Kiryat Malachi. 2 years after he came here, he made a Siyam HaShas. Now this Siyam HaShas was just a family. He was very misragish, he was very emotional. He made a Siyam HaShas. He made a Siyam to the Hadron, to the Shtekul Teir, and he spoke. His brother, Uncle Henoch, was sitting next to him. And they were Lubavitch Chassidim, so the vodka was flowing freely. And my Uncle Henoch turned around to him and said to him quietly, to his brother, he said, if it wouldn't have been for the Yimach Shemayniks, if it wouldn't have been for the communists, you would have been able to make this Siyam 16 years earlier. They took away 16 years of our lives where we didn't have a Gemara to be able to learn. So my uncle Michal looked at him and he said quietly, he didn't realize that he was being overheard, he said to him quietly, he said, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. He said, why? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam put me in a situation that for 16 years I was in a labor camp in Siberia? He said, and I know why. So he said to my uncle Henoch, he said, do you remember so-and-so and so-and-so? Mention the name. It was meaningless to me. And my uncle said, yeah. He said, we got arrested on the same day. We were two boys. We were saying a shir in an underground yeshiva in Bedichev. And we were saying a shir. And they arrested us he was saying in one room, I was saying in the other room. And they arrested us in the middle when we were saying the shir. And they took us in Bedichev to the local KGB headquarters. And both of us together, the first thing that they did was they shaved our beards off with a razor blade. So my uncle Michal said to my uncle Henoch, he said, when they did that to him, he fainted. When they cut his beard off, he fainted. I didn't faint. That's why I deserve to sit for 16 years. If they can cut my beard off and I didn't faint, then there was something wrong with my Yiddishkeit. Then there was something very wrong with me. Because of a Yid, if they cut his beard off, his instinctive reaction should be that he faints. It's not a cognitive, conscious reaction. It's a subconscious reaction. If one doesn't have that subconscious reaction, if even when one is not in control of one faculties, one doesn't have a nekuda somewhere which says that the only thing that interests me in the situation of being not in control of my faculties is something to do with Torah and something to do with Yiras Shamayim, then spiritually one is dead. Al aras kama v'kama. If one's not in control of one's faculties and one can do something which is keneged the halacha, then one is spiritually dead. There is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Paskin halacha l'maisa, that certain people, even though they're talking, walking, thinking, and acting as if they are alive, halachically they are considered dead. Gavra ketila. He's a dead person, says the Gemara in Makkos and the Gemara in various other places. Somebody who was nigzar of a gzar din of Misa by Bezdin, his status halachically, and there are a lot of practical halachic ramifications to this, but his status halachically is that he's dead. You can be physically alive, but you can be spiritually dead. There is a posuk in the Sefer Parsha. And the posuk says the following. The posuk says, Vaya'al Moshe v'Aaron Nodav v'Avihu, that Moshe and Aaron and Nodav and Avihu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael, and 70 skenim of Klal Yisrael, the 70 most choshev of the people in Klal Yisrael, went up onto Har Sinai. Vayiru Eis Eleke Yisrael. And they were zeicha, the pasuk says, to see Eleke Yisrael. They were zeicha to see the Ribbono Shel. Aaron, Nodav, Avil, the Shivim Skenim, they go up onto Har Sinai, and there they have a tremendous aliyah. And there they are masig, tremendous hasogas. The Rashbam says, Vayiru es Elikei Yisrael, says the Rashbam, Ke'en, it's parallel to that which the Pasuk says in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Zeiche, V'ra'isa es Achorai, to see, as it were, the back of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ibn Ezra says, Ein ze b'mare ha'ayin. It doesn't mean he physically saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. You cannot physically see the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki im b'derech nevuah. This was the highest darga, says the Ibn Ezra, of nevuah. And in the midst of this epitome of nevuah, in the midst of this maximum dveikus with the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the midst of the ultimate aliyah that these unique people amongst Klal Yisrael, Nodav, Avihu, Shivim Skenim, are experiencing, they are chai of Misa all of a sudden. Why are they chai of Misa? The Pasuk says, how do I know that they are chai of Misa? The Pasuk continues and the Pasuk says, Ve'el Atzilei B'nei Yisrael, in reference to these great personalities in Klal Yisrael, Lo Sholach Yodai, the Ribbono Shel Olam did not stretch out his hand, says Rashi, based on Chazal, it's a Medrash Tanchuma, Leisholach Yodei, he didn't punish them with death, Michlal, which teaches us, Shehoyu Re'uyim Lihishtalech Bohem Yad, that they were deserving of the death penalty, but the Ribbono Shel'Olam deferred the death penalty to a later point in time in order not to disturb the simcha of Kabbalah Satera. And the later point in time was when Nadav and Avihu are consumed by the fire in the Eil Moed, and the Shivim Skenim are killed in the Megefa at the time of Vayisavu es Hatayvel. Why were they deserving of Misa? Continues the Pasuk and says, because Vayechzu es Ha'Elohim, they saw the Ribbono Shel'Olam, they reached the Daga that they reached, Vayechlu Vayishtu, and they ate and they drank. And there are two main explanations given, both quoted by Rashi, as to what they did which was deserving of the death penalty. Rashi says his pshat, and then Rashi says, look in Unkelus, and you'll see that the Targum Unkelus explains it differently. How does the Targum Unkelus explain it? The Targum Unkelus says that Vayechzu es Elohim, Vayechlu Vayishtu, they were extremely happy. They were in a ultimate stage of simcha. Shehar Kobonus, that the Kobonus that they were makriv to the Ribbono Shel'Olam was miskabel barotzen lifnei Hashem. Ke'ilu heim oichlim v'sheisim. In the same way that a person is besimcha and that a person has a good feeling after he eats and he drinks, that was the hargosha that they had when they saw that the Ribbono Shel'Olam was makabel the korbanos that they brought when vayalu al ahar. And the question begs itself. So what did they do wrong on the contrary? This seems to be a favorable interpretation of what Nadav and Avihu and the Shivim Skenim did. They were besimcha that the Ribbono Shel'Olam was makabel their korbanos. All the klalos, all the terrible things that happened to Klal Yisrael, why do they happen? Says the pasuk, Tachas asher lo yavaretem es Hashem elokecha besimcha v'tuv leivov. A person should be besimcha. He should feel good about having done a mitzvah. So what's the problem here? What did they do wrong? I once heard from my Rebbe, from Rav Meir Chodesh, the Mashgiach of Chevron Yeshiva. I think I heard from him. I'm pretty sure that I heard it from him. But he said that the pshat is the following. Nadav, Avihu, the Atzilu B'nai Yisrael, Shivim Skenim, they were at a tremendous daraga of simcha and tov lev of Avedis Hashem, of Nevuah, of Kirvas Elohim. And what was their response to that? How did they respond to that? The response to that, says the Pasuk, was Vayechlu Vayishtu. What does Vayechlu Vayishtu mean? So he said the following. When a person eats and when a person drinks, what's the hargosha that he has afterwards? The hargosha that he has afterwards is that he's satisfied. The person is hungry. The person is thirsty. The person is very hungry. A person is very thirsty. Vayechlu, he eats. Vayishtu, he drinks. And he's satisfied. Says the Pasuk, this was the problem. If you can reach such a darga of Nevuah, if you can reach such a darga of Kirvas Elohim, if you can have such a Hisalas Ruchnis, if you can get to such a daga in Ruchnius, Vayechlu Vayishtu, And you're mistapik with that. And that's enough for you. And that's fine. And you don't think that there's somewhere to go further. It's like a chilin shtia. You're satisfied. The mistapik benuot that should be relevant to dvorim gashmiim becomes relevant to dvorim ruchniim. That's your perspective on ruchnius. Mistapik benuot. Enough. I did my bit. You are dead, says the Targum. There's no point in you living. There's no point in you being around. Because if a person manages to reach such a darga, whatever the darga is, if a person manages to reach a darga which is higher than where he started from, then his instinctive automatic reaction, if he's alive, should be, if I could do it till now, I can go further. If I can get here, I can get further. And if he hasn't got that hargosha, if he doesn't instinctively feel, if I can get here, I can get further, but he's mistapik with where he is, vayeshlu vayishtu, he's dead. Because a person who is alive is a person who is a hoylech, is a person who is moving. If you're not moving, you're dead. What do we say when we close up a kever on a person? When we close up a grave, what do the Chevra Kadisha say? Ya'amoid al raglov. Beketa yomim. He'll stand on his feet when the time will come for Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because he's dead, he can't move, he can't be a hoylech. Ki hoylech adam, a person is a hoylech, beis olamo. Until he hits the grave. When he hits the grave, he's dead. He can't move anymore. So if he's here in this world and he's not moving, then he's dead. The Rebbe Shlomo didn't want to stir the simcha of Matan Torah, so he delayed the physical death for a period of time. What the Rebbe Shlomo expects from a person is that his objective, his ideal, his focus should be the maximum. Even if Bepoel, there's no way that he's going to get there, but at least map out a plan of action that plans on getting there. Even if you know b'metzias that you're not going to get there. The Gemara says that there were four people shenichnesu lepardes, the Gemara in Chagiga. There were four people who got into an area of spirituality which was dangerous. Heitzitz lemokim she'oso, the Gemara says. They got to a place, they looked, they glanced into a place which was oso. Umeis, and they died. They jumped too fast to a place where they shouldn't have been. It's like plugging in one of these to a city generator. It'll blow. You can't. There have to be breakers on the way which lowers the voltage. If you plug something, if you plug 112 voltage into 220 voltage, it explodes. They exploded. They got to a point. They plugged into something which was much too powerful for them. Says the Gemara in Chagiga that the pasuk in Tehillim, which says, when David HaMelech says, Yokor be'einei Hashem, it's dear to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hamofso lechasido, the death of his chassidim. Says the Gemara in Chagiga, that's referring to Ben Azai. that the death of Ben Azai was Yaakov be'einei Hashem. Why? Ben Azai was nichshol in the attempt that he made. He wanted to be masig hasogas elyonis, which were way above his darga. And because of it, he dies. But Yaakov be'einei Hashem. Why, say the Mefarshim? Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo appreciated, at least he wanted it. He failed. He never made it. And it had a terrible, disastrous effect on him. But at least he wanted it. Because Chayev Odom Leime Masai Yagia Maisai Lemaisai Avaisai. Because a person has to say, I want to be an Avram and I want to be a Yitzchak and I want to be a Yankov. It's laughable. He hasn't got a chance in a million to be a Chofetz Chaim. And he's talking about, I want to be an Avram, I want to be a Yitzchak, and I want to be a Yankov. Say, Chazal, how do you think that the Chofetz Chaim became the Chofetz Chaim? Because he wanted to be Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov. If you want to be Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov, you'll become a Chofetz Chaim. If you want to be a Chofetz Chaim, you'll become an Adam Choshev. But if you haven't got that Sheifa, if you're not aiming for the top, if you're not aiming for Avram Yitzchak v'Yankov, you're dead. You're an Eimid, you're not a Heilech. And an Eimid is dead. A person has to be Shoyef to the highest Daga. They say about the Goyen, that the Goyen knew Shas, Hofuch, Yoshev Hofuch. He could start reading Shas from the beginning to the end, and he could read it backwards. He could read every word in Shas backwards, starting with the last letter of the word and ending up with the first letter of the word. Hovel boy, hovel boy. They say of the story of the Shagas Aria, that the Shagas Aria banged on the bimah after Shacharis one morning, and he said, I'm inviting the whole Olam to a Siyum HaShas in my house. So the Balabatim turned around to him and said, Rebbe, what's the big fuss? You finish Shas, who knows how, every few months. So why all of a sudden you're making this Siyum and you're inviting everybody? He said, this time is different. It's the 1,000th time of finishing Shas. We don't realize the power, the effect, the ramification of a Sheifa. If a person wants to get somewhere, if he's not satisfied where he is, there's a Dov and Neiru. If it wouldn't be Mefurish, if we wouldn't see it Mefurish in Chumash and in Chazal, I don't know if you'd be allowed to say something like this. The power of a sheif of a person, what effect it has, generations and generations and generations afterwards, even though the sheifa never came to fruition. It never achieved anything. It was just a burning desire. That's all. The Zohar says that from the day in which the world was created until the most terrible war which is ever going to take place, which the Zohar says is the future war of Gog and Magog, there never has been, and there never will be, a war which was as violent and as great as the war in the Midbar between Klal Yisrael and Amalek. Says the Zohar, why was this war so unique? What was the singularity of the war between Klal Yisrael and Amalek? What was special about the war between Klal Yisrael and Amalek? Says the Zohar, because this war wasn't taking place only on a physical plane and on a physical level here in this world between Yeshua leading Klal Yisrael and Amalek. But Be'ikah, says the Zohar, the war was taking place Ba'olam HaSeh and Yonim. It was a war between Tumah and Tirah. And it was a ness that Klal Yisrael managed to survive this war and to be victorious in this war. Why is this war with the Amalek and Klal Yisrael so unique? Why is it that the Rebbeinu Shalom says, Rabbi Lapkin asked on Wednesday, why is it that Rebbeinu Shalom says that only when Amalek is destroyed will the Shem Hashem be Shalem? Will the Kiseh of the Rebbeinu Shalom be Shalem? The answer is, where did Amalek come from? What's the background of Amalek? The Pasuk says that Amalek's mother was Timnah. Timnah was the wife of Eliphaz, who was the son of Esav. The Pasuk says, Mefurish and Bereishis, that Timnah was the daughter of the king of Seir, and that Timnah was a Pilegesh of Eliphaz. And the question arises, and Chazal have this question, how come that a princess from the house of the king of Seir should end up being a second-rate, unimportant concubine in the house of Eliphaz? What happened here? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Datsadi Tes that Timnah wanted to be Mizgaya. And she came to every single Bezdin that was around and asked them that they should be Megaya her. She wants to become part of Klal Yisrael. Avram had a Bezdin. The others had Bati Din, says the Gemara. There were three Bati Din. And she came to all of them. And she said, be Megaya me. I want to become a part of Klal Yisrael. And for whatever reason it may be, and we don't know the details, the Bati Din decided that she wasn't royal. She wasn't suitable to be part of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, when she saw this, she went and she said, I'd rather be a Pelegesh to Eliphaz, the son of Esav, Mutav Lies Pelegesh Letzetzov Shel Avram, rather be a Pelegesh in the household of Avram, Shehein Yirei Shemayim, because they are Yirei Shemayim, Me'asher Lies Gevira B'Mishpachas Shel Malachim, than to be a princess in the house of Malachim. And she gave birth to Amalek. The Shifa to be nidbak to a family of Yirei Shemayim. That Sheifa which caused her to go time and time again to Bezdin and beg Bezdin that they should be Megaya. Even though Bezdin already said, no way that we're going to be Megaya you. Created power. Because Sheifa creates power. In this particular case, because she ended up in the house of Esav, the power that the Sheifa created went in the wrong direction. But it was so powerful that the Zohar says it was the most difficult milchama of all the milchamas to win. It needed tremendous keichas ruchniim to be able to overpower it. Because seeing that it's a milchama against Sheifa, Sheifa wins out. And to overcome Shifa, you need a tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Now, there's another point that we have to know. The pasuk says, "Vayhi miketz shnosayim yomim." After 2 years, uparoi cholam. Paroi has a dream. Say Chazal that the pasuk uses the word miketz at the end of. Say, Chazal, there is a pasuk which says, Kates som l'cheshech. An end has come to darkness. Say, Chazal, this expression is in reference to Yosef. Yosef, a number of years, had to be, for reasons that are beyond our understanding, Yosef has to be in jail. As soon as the end of that period of time that the Hashgacha determined that Yosef has to be in jail has ended, Paro immediately has a chalayim. And that's why the Pasuk says, Keitz osa l'chayshech. It's finished. Ask the Mefoshim on the Medrash. It's true, Paro had a chalayim. But until Paro had a chalayim, and until the Chatumim tried to interpret the chalayim, and until they actually went, and they took Yosef out of the boya, a lot of time went by. So how can it be that the minute the Paro has the chalayim, the Pasuk calls it the end of the problems of Yosef? It's not the end of the problems of Yosef. The end of the problems of Yosef are later, when Yosef actually gets physically taken out of jail. The answer is, decision creates metzias. Beis Din decide that the person is mechuyav meisa, gavra ketila. He's dead. You know he's dead, he's walking around. Yeah, he looks as if he's alive, but he's dead. The minute the decision is made, the decision creates the metzias. The decision that Yosef should be taken out of the boya that Paro put him into was made when Paro woke up from the dream. When Paro woke up from the dream, that was the point in time when the Ribbono Shelolam said, okay, now the Hashgacha is going to arrange that Yosef is going to be the one that's only going to be the one that's going to be able to interpret the dream. The somebody's going to come and tell Paro that I have somebody for you to interpret your dream, and Yosef is going to be freed. The decision's made at that point in time, Metzias comes into play. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, the famous story. Rabbi Yochanan swimming. Reish Lakish is the head of the mafia. That's what the Gemara says. He dives into the water and he sees Rabbi Yochanan. He says to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, you're a good-looking guy. Rabbi Yochanan says, wait until you see my sister. Reish Lakish says, really? Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, you want to marry her? Reish Lakish says, sure. She's better looking than you. No question. Says Rabbi Yochanan Beseda. If you're in the Kabbalah on yourself, old Torah, then you can marry my sister. Reish Lakish says, fine. Done deal. Says the Gemara. Reish Lakish couldn't swim back to the shore. Says Rashi. Lo yochel likvois kibrishayne. He couldn't jump the way he jumped into the water to get out of the water. The Mishakibul of Old Torah, because he was makabul upon himself, Old Torah, Toshash Koichai. He had no strength left. Why? Because Torah Mateshes is Koichish Lodom. Torah Mateshes Koichish Lodom. Torah Mateshes Koichish Lodom means that when a person learns Torah, he loses his Koich because he puts all his effort into learning Torah. Reish Lakish hadn't done anything yet. All Reish Lakish had done was to agree to marry Rechnan's sister, and he said, yeah, I'll go off to Leivari if you want, Dafka, fine, no problem. What does Chazal say? It doesn't make any difference. The decision creates the metzias. You decide, you are. The Shivim Skeinim, none of an Aviyu, were classified by the Torah as being people who are dead. Why are they people who are dead? Because they are satisfied where they are at. Not only are they satisfied where they are at, they're happy that they got to where they got to. They're proud that they got to where they got to. They're not interested in moving further. Vayechnu vayishtu. You drink and you're satisfied. You don't need another meal at this point in time. You'll get hungry again, you'll think about it. You'll get thirsty again, you'll think about it. But this point in time, you're satisfied, finished, it's over. No more desperate search for food, no more desperate search for drink. Says the Torah, Gavra Ketila, you're a dead person. Because a person who is alive is a Holech. He's constantly striving for something more. What's he constantly striving for? The ultimate. Mosei Yagir, Maisa de Maisa Avaisai. And if he strives for the ultimate, maybe he'll get somewhere. And once he makes the decision that he wants to strike, and once he makes the decision that he wants to move further, then it's a metzias. Then he's alive and kicking. And why doesn't a person always want to move further? Because there's a chisaron in midas. Because he's an egoist. Because he believes that he himself did it. And because he himself did it, he says, I did it to this point, but I can't do it any further. What do you want from me? Look where I was then, look where I am now, I'm fine. Idiot! Had nothing to do with you! It's Ribbono Shel Olam. Without Siyata Dishmaya, without Tefillah, without the Ribbono Shel Olam, you wouldn't get anywhere. Without your kabbonis being miskabu berotzen by the Ribbono Shel Olam and Tefillah b'mokum kabbonis, you wouldn't be anywhere at all. You'd be in the garbage and the sewage where you started off. So if it's the Ribbono Shel Olam, so the reason why you're here where you are is because he determined that he was listening to your tefillahs. Those minimal tefillahs that you were mispalel were miskabu. So ask for more. Ask to become a Rabbi Ober, ask to become a Rabbi Shemeshkop, ask to become a Rabbi Chaim, ask to become a Chavetz Chaim. If he took you this far, he'll take you further as well. It's nothing to do with you. He can take you anywhere he wants to. Why don't we ask? Because we don't believe it has anything to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's me. The Jew, even if he's suffering from Alzheimer, even if he's senile, if he's a Yerei Shamayim, if he's an Elachid, in his confusion, it'll be Shabbos the whole week. He'll be asking the whole time if he davened Ma'ariv. The Jew, if he's Yerei Shamayim, if he hears that something happened, which is a travesty, he faints. Or a chalapach as he goes white. Or a chalapach as he gets a zet somewhere in his heart. What's going on? When I got the phone call at 2:10 from a neighbor on Tuesday night about what happened here, you know what I did? I went into the internet. I said, when was the last time that Jews destroyed and vandalized a shul? Happened once in the last 600 years. Yevetskaya, the Jewish communists, did it in Russia, in the Stalin era. They destroyed shuls. What did the Chavetz Chaim say about them? It's printed. It's printed in the Kisvei Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says that when I go to the Olam HaEmes, I'm going to have din v'cheshbon to give. Because those Yevetskaya, those Jewish communists who destroyed shuls, they are Amalek, and I was not Makayim the mitzvah of Timchei Zeicher Amalek. I did not physically kill them. Did it bother anybody? And Bechlal, how do you get to Azar Matav? You get to Azar Matav because you're dead. Because there are no Sheifas. Because we're living in cuckoo land, in an Olam HaDimyon. We become so glued to the virtuality of the virtual world of the computer that we started living in a virtual world. That a retard can say, he sees there's a guy here standing here every morning, he's writing, he's clicking off on the list, if you were here, if you weren't here. He sees Rabbi Strizar sitting in the back doing Seder, clicking off on the list, if you were here, if you weren't here. He knows there's somebody with a list. Are you here for Shabbos? Aren't you here for Shabbos? Did you come to davening? Did you come to davening? The list is there on the computer in the yeshiva, black and white. And the guy, the retard, looks at you in the face and he says, I came every day to davening, I came every day to Seder, I never missed a Shabbos. What do you want from me?
Retard, you're dead! You're living in an Olam HaDimyon! You're living in cuckoo land! You've climbed into the virtual world of the computer! Says the Rebbe Shlomo, turn him off and put out the plug. Hey, Tochen! Guy sits here 6 months, 8 months. Look at you, look around, look at you! 6 months, 8 months, don't smile, look at yourself, retard! How long have you been here? The same garbage over and over again. Nishkan Davin, Nishkan Lavin, Nishkan Yerushalayim, nothing. You're dead. So call the Chevra Kaddish and do us all a favor. It's not cynicism, it's not being funny. It's a metzius. You're walking corpses. And you're all v'yichlevayish, everybody's happy. If you knew where I was 6 months ago, I know where you were 6 months ago, the same place where you are now, in the sewage. The same place. Because you can put on a pair of tefillin and claim a son with tunafim as well. Happens to be also a pair of locha, but you can do it. Big deal. Big deal. Make a cheshbon. From the time the guy opens his eyes to the guy closes his eyes. If he actually hovers in Lenin for 16 minutes a day, he thinks that he's God's gift to Yiddishkeit. When you're living in such a virtual world, yes. This, and you act like Goyim. Then your Shabbos is like Goyim. Jews have made the nefesh for Shabbos. Shabbos was a ruchni experience. Shabbos was a time for learning. Shabbos was a time for davening. The Jew worked like a meshugana the whole year, week in order to make a parnasa. He sat in shul on Shabbos and he davened for 5 hours, 6 hours, but about him. Push the yidden. What did they do Shabbos? The Mavis said to him, "Stay mikarech atavgan," and they said, "Tell him a whole day if they couldn't open a Gemara." They got drunk as if it was an Irish wake. That was Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is all about.